Thank God for our pastors, how they continue to bless us and feed us, so that we can grow up and be able to share also. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
I guess that's not amen.
Amen.
Amen, 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 amen.
Amen. So we can grow up so we can be able to share also. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Amen? Amen? And to give His word to others. Hallelujah. See, this word was made for us to distribute. Amen. And to give to others. Amen. Not just to keep it for ourselves. It's in the overflowing that God makes a big difference in the lives of others. Amen. If you will be with me, we're going to have a lot of scriptures today. And hopefully our AV people can be able to have those scriptures on the screens. But give attention to the Word of God. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 9. We'll start with Genesis chapter 9. If you have your Bibles. If you have your digital Bibles. Genesis chapter 9. We're going to be looking at verse 13 through 15. Praise the name of Jesus. And for those who, when you hear me read from the Word of God, I like to use the King James Version. Some of the New King James Version, and some other translations which I will actually share with you and tell you. So if you feel a little lost in the scriptures that you're reading, that's okay. You get your, you know, take down a note and be like the Bereans. When you go back home, there's a group of people in the Bible talks about, the Bereans, which go back and they go and check the Word of God to see that which that person said is true. Hallelujah. I remember when I was younger and I was in high school and I used to minister to I had a dear Catholic friend, and I asked him, when the preacher comes to, or the priest comes to preach or to speak to you, do you open your Bible? So, no, we don't do that. So how do you know he didn't just open up Time Magazine and preach to you? We have to be aware of the Bible. We have to put it inside of us. Amen. Genesis chapter 9, verse 13 to 15. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. It shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature, and all flesh, the waters, and shall no more become a flood to destroy the flesh. Now, Genesis chapter 9, if you're familiar with your Bible and you do your reading, you know this is shortly after the great flood that wiped off all living things on the earth. And I love this scripture, because especially when I travel in the countryside after a great rain, you see what they call that wonderful rainbow. And that should warm your heart every time you see it. Because it testifies exactly what God said. He said, it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen. It shall come to pass. Note, this particular phrase is a phrase that also I was triggered to share with you today. It shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. When we read verse 13, we see that phrase, it shall come to pass. And the phrase, we can find that phrase in Scripture 120 times. It is a declarative statement which states something will happen. You know, in that Scripture, when you see it shall come to pass, when we see it through Scripture, it can be used by men, and it can be used by God. However, when men use it, they use it with assumption and maybe presumption. And what do I mean by that? See, when you assume, that means you, it means to suppose, to take for granted, to take upon, to don, or to undertake in shared meaning. Also to suppose. Presume is also similar. The difference between the two is when you assume, you don't require any evidence or any experience. So assume just states with no basis, and presume states on the basis of things that you've already seen. But you know, when it comes to men, even both of those can be wrong. How do I know that? In Genesis chapter 4 and 13 and 15, we have an illustration of Cain. Anybody know who Cain is? Cain and Abel, going back to our little Bible stories. Cain killed his brother. And God put a very big punishment upon him. And in 13 and 15, it says, Cain said, Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. He says, behold, you have driven me out this day from the face of the earth and from all the face. I shall be hid. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. He thought, because of God's declaration over his life, he said, it shall come to pass that when people see me, they're going to kill me too. But that wasn't necessarily true. In fact, the scripture continues to say that God said, no, I will set a mark upon you. Nobody will touch you. See, when God uses the phrase, it shall come to pass, it is definite. It is sure. It is prophetic. Prophetic, what I mean by that is accurately describing or predicting what will happen in the future. When God uses the phrase, it shall come to pass, he is prophetic. You know, when God says it shall come to pass, what will happen? It shall come to pass. If we look at an example, even in Israel, if we look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 20 to 22, we see in this particular case, you know, at this time, Israel was still in bondage. God sent Moses on the scene to liberate them. And in verse 20, it says, I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all the wonders which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. So in that episode that you read about the Israelites, God was about to put some plagues down upon these people. And it was definite. And verse 21 says, and I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it says, it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty. The Lord said, it shall come to pass when you go, you shall not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. Now God told them to borrow. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Speak now in ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor, and every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver and jewels of gold. But do you know that even though it started in Exodus chapter 3, it didn't happen to Exodus chapter 11? Well, there seemed to be some delay, and it shall come to pass. Maybe that's some of the problems that we have. God may say some things in your life that have been spoken into your life, and you have promises from him. And he said, it shall come to pass, and you have a delay. I'm here to tell you that because there is a delay does not mean it will not come to pass. We didn't need to listen during the delay. Are there things we should be doing during the delay? Sometimes we're waiting on God during the delay. Some people estimate, there was one guy on what I found on the internet who tried to contemplate how long did it take for God to actually bring them out after he said he will take them out. And he had estimated, he had taken each one of his, the plagues, and he said, okay, this one was for 7 days, the miracle of waters into blood, And he said the serpent, the miracle before the serpent, and he says one day, he said one day for the frogs and all these different things, and he came out in 3 to 7 weeks. Now, we don't really know how long it took before Moses came on the scene and said, he's going to take you out. We know it's for some time. But sometimes when we get a message from God and we're so hyped up with it, and we believe that God is going to do what he said he's going to do, sometimes the delay seems like it's forever. Sometimes we even say to ourselves, do I really have to wait a month? Does it really have to be 7 weeks? Maybe a year seems to be quite long for me. What am I going to do? But in Exodus chapter 11, it says, the Lord said to Moses, this is 11, after the 10 plagues were over, he says, yet I will bring one plague more unto Pharaoh and upon Egypt, and afterwards he will let them go. And we know what that plague was. It was a plague of the death of the first sons. I mean, the first firstborn. And then God began to do his thing. But just before he had that plague, he needed to teach them something. You see, sometimes the it shall come to pass is conditional upon obedience. The it shall come to pass may be conditional upon the obedience. In Exodus chapter 12, he's getting ready to bring the Israelites out. And he spends, Exodus chapter 12, you read your scripture, he spends all this time to teach them about the Passover. He gave them specific instructions how to do the Passover. Down to what kind of sacrifice you do, how you're supposed to prepare it, how you're supposed to gather your people together, when you have any extras that go along with it. He actually explained to them exactly what they were supposed to do. God expected them to obey his instructions to the letter, and or they would not survive the havoc of this plague that was going to happen. In Exodus chapter 12, he says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And in verse 21, he says, of Exodus chapter 12, then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood, that is the basin, and strike the lintels on the two side posts,
yes, yes,
with the blood.
Yes.
And none of you shall go out of the door of the house until morning.
Thank you, Lord.
Says, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood,
yes, Lord, yes,
upon the lintel and on the two side posts,
yes,
the Lord will pass over the door, thank and you, will Lord, not suffer the destroyer to come, Lord, in onto your houses, thank to you, smite you.
Thank
you. He gave specific instructions. They had to do it exactly the way he said it. And further declarations of it shall come to pass throughout Scripture, it will require conditions for a positive receiving of his blessings. God will say it shall come to pass, but he may have a condition. He may want you to do something specific for him. We see that after he brought them out. He brought him into the wilderness. And because there was no gardening in the wilderness, the sand didn't support beets and cucumber, he had to feed them. And in feeding them, in Exodus 16, we see in verse 4, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you.
Thank you, Lord.
God was so interested to take care of them that he rained bread from heaven. And he says, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day that ye shall prepare, that that which they bring, and it shall be twice as much as you gather that daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto the children of Israel at evening, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. Mm. But did Israel obey? Like I say, the it shall come to pass may require conditions. You're thinking and you believe in God for many things. How did Israel obey? Verse chapter 16, 17 gives us what happened. Verse 17 says the children of Israel did so gather. And it says some more, some less. So when they measured in omers, he who gathered much had nothing left over. And he who gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. And Moses said, let no one leave any till the morning. Which means God told them each day to gather so that you can eat for that day. Don't take more than what I've asked you to do for that day. God wanted them to depend on him each day. Give us, Lord, our daily bread.
Thank you, Lord.
Teaching us today that we have this testimony, we can read it ourselves. So they gathered it every morning, and every man according to his need. And when the sun became hot, it melted. And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much, two omers each one. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the Sabbath. Rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning. So they laid it up till morning as Moses commanded, and it was not stink. You see, when they gathered daily, and they took more than what they were supposed to eat, it became putrid, it became stinky. It became with worms, because they didn't do what God told them to do. Sometimes people take opportunities. Instead of doing what God told them to do, they take opportunities to take more, and that's not what God told them to do. He told them how much to take. It shall come to pass, may come with conditions. It may come with conditions. So, but on just before the Sabbath, they were supposed to gather for 2 days, and they were obedient. And on the second day, where they weren't supposed to come gather on God's Sabbath, that which they kept over was just as fresh as it was. They took it from the day before. Why? Because they were obedient. Has the Lord been speaking to us to obey him in just a few steps? Those who didn't borrow as instructed left Egypt empty-handed. When the people left Egypt and they came into the wilderness, those who didn't borrow, guess what happened? They didn't have. Those who didn't gather the bread from heaven as instructed went hungry on the Sabbath because they didn't gather enough. Every observed step of obedience can affect our journey. Sometimes we are waiting on God, but God could be waiting on us. We want God to say, it shall come to pass in our lives. Amen? We want him to say, it shall come to pass. We have dreams. We have desires. We want God to speak things forth in our lives. Our walk with God is a personal relationship. You know, Psalms 91 and 16. And this is a verse which I write on all birthday cards, even at the job. Or going away cards, I write the same verse, Psalms 91:16. I don't write the whole verse, I say Psalms 91:16. If they decide to look it up, then we'll be blessed. If they don't, but I write Psalms 91:16. It says, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. This is a personal relationship, this walk with God. And I like this because it says, with long life, I will satisfy him. You think just because you got saved, you got all the clue about how God is? You know, we didn't get the whole clue about God just when we got saved. And in fact, as we continue to go on in our relationship with God, each and every day, each and every week, each and every month, each and every year, we learn more and more about the Lord. And we learn more about what it means to be under His salvation grace. This personal relationship is enhanced through obedience. But it's hard to obey God without hearing His voice. You will have to hear the voice of God as you read, listen, and study His Word. I like to tell you that the Bible is God speaking to you.
Amen.
The Bible is God speaking to you. If you're saying, I can't hear God, I don't know what to do, have you been reading your Bible? The Bible is God speaking to you.
Amen.
Oh, you say, well, it's just a book. They like you to believe that.
That's right.
People like you to denigrate the Bible. You don't know the history and how this Bible came to be and continues to thrive. Even amongst those who tried to throw it away and discard it and destroy it, this Bible has persisted. Why? Because it's His living voice to you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Today and forever. I call the Bible basic instructions before leaving earth.
That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah. That's right. This is the basic instructions before leaving earth. Hallelujah. His word is crucial to your success in your life. He has gone through great lengths to preserve His word and the message of His voice to us. John 14 and 21 says this. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Glory to God. How do you know His commandments? Oh, you got to get to the Word. If you want to know who God is, you got to get into His Word. Do you realize how many things keep you from His Word? There are plenty. We know that. Isn't that true? It's like the last thing we want to do. Let's tip God 2 minutes. Let's read one verse. And you're only going to know one verse about God. We want to know Him. And we're only going to know through the Word. I like that we are living in an age of all this technology. We carry Bibles in our phones. We carry Bibles all around us. Do we open them, Lord Jesus? I like Bible Gateway, especially when it's hard to read those hard passages like Leviticus and Chronicles and Kings, and that's where the pages may stick in your Bible. But those scriptures, what I like to do is I will take like Bible Gateway and I will go up there and I'll put the scripture up and I will have it read to me, just like you're a little kid, and somebody's reading the Bible, and I'm watching the words. You can get through a lot of scripture that way. I encourage you to do that. Get through a lot of scripture this year. Amen?
Amen.
Because you begin to get a picture of God that's bigger than you have. Without His words, you will never get that picture. You always will be guessing what His will is. You can't understand what His will unless the Word is deep inside of you. You may think that you've gone in many years, and like I'm 60 years old, you know, and at some point I thought I could just sit back and retire, just come here and play piano. Lord got different, He has different ideas.
Right.
Maybe the next 20 years or more of my life, God may have me do more preaching than He has me doing right now, than He had me doing before.
That's right.
I thought the 4 years I was pastoring, or the many years that I was been teaching Sunday school, maybe that was, that's good. I could just sit back and enjoy my IRA and sit back. No, that's not what God's intention. Especially when you get called up and say, hey, you got to preach. And you don't have a sermon right in your pocket.
God is good.
God is good. Amen. 1 Peter 2, 1-3 says, therefore, laying aside all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted, the Lord is gracious. It shall come to pass. That's all I want. It shall come to pass. I just want the things that God has promised me. I want it to come to pass. Some of us get like that. I've been waiting too long. I want it just to come to pass. You see, but God still wants a relationship with you when he brings great things to pass in your life. Maybe if you get the thing right now, maybe you'll say, well, God, Sunday was okay. I don't have to go this weekend. No. Let me give you a good illustration. 2 Chronicles 25. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 25. Now, in 2 Chronicles 25, give you a little bit of history here. The people of God, or the people of Israel, the Jewish nation, at this particular time, was divided. And when you read the scripture, it would be good to see how that actually happened. So, the people were split into like two kingdoms, one called Israel and one called Judah. And each one of them had their own kings. And when you read between the Chronicles and the Kings, you find out that it constantly comes up and says, this king came up and he was evil in the sight of God. And God cut him off and he was gone. And you see all those particular things in the scripture, you begin to read them. In this particular case, there's a king called Amaziah. And in 1 Chronicles 25, it says he was 25 years old, and when he began to reign, he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoiada of Jerusalem. Now his father wasn't there, because his father was already killed and he was gone. That's usually how the sons usually take over. The dad is gone. Okay? And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Now it came to pass, when the kingdom was established to him, that he slew his servants that had killed his father. See, the servants killed the father. But he slew not the children of the servants who killed his father, but did as it was written in the law, the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, the father shall not die for the children, and neither shall the children die for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin. I like reading that. Why? Because whoever my dad was, okay, and his misgivings of what he did, I don't have to be failing because of him. Nor do I have to fail because my son or my daughter decided to go off half-cocked and do something different.
Amen.
And be crazy. You are going, it's a personal relationship. You will stand before God yourself. This is Old Testament. So what do you expect? We have a better covenant? Alright? Now, verse 5. Moreover, Amaziah gathered to Judah together and made the captains over 1,000. Now, he's the new king. He's 25 years old. He's the new king. So he's going to set up his army, make sure he has captains over hundreds, according to the house of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin. He numbered them from 20 years old above, and found them 300,000. And he found them 300,000 choice men, able to go forth to war, and could handle spear and shield. He also had a nice army, but he decided also. Now remember, this is Amaziah, king of Judah. So Israel was really their brethren. So he said, "Well, let's go hire some people from Israel and bring them over." So he said, 100,000 mighty men of valor he's going to hire by giving 100 talents of silver. But there a man of God came. Verse 7. He says, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee. For the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. So Judah, the king, was pretty favorable to God. He wasn't perfect. But at that particular time, the king of Israel was just off the tracks. And he decided, well, he was going to get some army soldiers from Israel. And the man of God told him, don't do it. Don't do it. Why? He says, but if thou will go up and be strong with the battle, God will make thee fall before the enemy, for God hath power to help and to cast down. He said, don't take these Israelite soldiers, don't take the Israel soldiers, because if you go to war, you're going to fail. Because they were in idolatry. They were doing all kinds of the things that God didn't want them to do. He said, if I'm going to lead you, you do what I say. And look what happened. What did Manasseh do? And Manasseh said to the man of God, but what shall I do with the 100 talents which I gave this army of Israel already? Look, I've already hired these mercenaries. I gave them 100 talents. What should I do? He said, look, and the man answers, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Know this, whatever state God brings you in, if somebody causes you to compromise your principles and tell you to do something that's apart from God, know this, that what you have, God can still multiply without them. God can give to you without them. This is what this man of God was saying to him. You see, because God is the one who's made you successful. Verse 10 says that then Amaziah separated, to wit, the army that was come to him out of Ephraim to go home. He told those people from Israel, go home. And they were offended. Because it says here, their anger was greatly kindled against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. And we read down, verse 11, and Amaziah strengthened himself and led forth his people, and went to the valley of Saul and smote the children of Seir 10,000. So he went to the battle and he smote the people because he left Israel out. But notice that the word says strengthen. He says strengthen your, he strengthened himself. Sometime when you feel like you're all alone, or you can't tell the help of someone else, or you can see help, but you don't want that help. It's just like, you know, you need money, and you go to the loan shark, and he wants to charge you 50%, you know, interest. That is the help you need. That's not the help you need. So what he did is he strengthened himself. He became strong. He became courageous, having a lack of soldiers. He still went. Because he was following God, he had success. And we will see that in verse 13, those soldiers he sent back, they were offended. In fact, it says in 13, the soldiers of the army which Amaziah sent back, they should not go with him to battle, fell on the cities of Judah from Samaria, even unto Beth Oron, and smote 3,000 of them and took much spoil. So what they did is they went back and started plundering some of the cities in Judah. Their brother cities. He sent them back, and they decided, well, we're going to go. You don't want us? We're going to take our stuff. Right? So sometimes when you have to tell people, I ain't with you, and I'm not going with you, I'm not going to be with you,
That's right. They
may be offended, and they may do some things to you too when they're leaving. But don't worry about it. God's got your back.
That's right.
God's got your back. Verse 14, now it came to pass that after Amaziah was come together and slaughtered of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the children of Seir. Now this is, Amaziah heard the word of God through a man of God. He did what he was supposed to do. He came and slaughtered the people, but then he did this. He says he brought the gods of these children of Seir, which they worship. And he set them up to be his gods. What? And it says his, and he bowed down himself before them and burnt incense onto them. What? Does that make any sense? And verse 15 says, wherefore the anger of the Lord, oh my God, kindled against Amaziah, and he sent unto him a prophet, which said unto him, Why hast thou sought after other gods of the people which could not deliver their own people out of thine hand? God wants to be with you when he brings you to the place of it shall come to pass. He doesn't want to bring you there, so now you turn around and start worshiping your, where you arrived and forget God. Mm-hmm. He wants to be with you. He wants to continue to be with you and enjoy you. God is a relational God. You know, my Bible, one of my Bible teachers said, used to say this as when we were students on Raymond. He says, God will take you where your character can keep you. Mm-hmm. Yep. He will take you where your character can keep you. But how do you build character? How do you bring yourself up so that you can continue to maintain your principles even in the midst where you don't have hardships? When you got all the money that you want, you're sitting up there. Do you still serve God? I hope so. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, you've heard this before, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So, this scripture, this prize that we have, and here in America, we can have hundreds of Bibles in our house. Right? I remember my wife and I, we had a Bible distribution when we were pastoring. Now, how many Bibles did we give them? It was what? 2,000 Bibles. Now, a lot of those Bibles probably went to people's homes, and they were nice relics right up on top of the shelves. Never going to do you any good, I know that's not good English, until it becomes a part of your heart. Praise God. Let's look at the Amplified version of that scripture. It says, all scripture is God-breathed, given by inspiration, and is profitable for instruction, for conviction of sin, for correction of error and restoration to obedience, for training in righteousness, learning to live in conformity to God's will, both publicly and privately, behaving honorably with personal integrity and moral courage, so that the man of God, and this scripture is referring to also women, may be complete and proficient, outfitted, and thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible will make you fit. The Bible will equip you. The Bible will take you where you need to go. Your Bible will bring you to it shall come to pass.
That's right.
We are believing God for many things. But Jesus, imploring his disciples, says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you desire, and it shall be done unto you. Psalm 37:3-5 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. Feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to him, to the Lord. Trust also him, and he shall bring it to pass. It shall come to pass. God wants your dreams to come to pass because you are trusting and delighting and committing your way to him. His word is abiding in you. You desire to please him. In closing, in Genesis 28, you should read that sometimes when you get a chance. Verse 1:3 says, it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord and observe God, observe the voice of the Lord, thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on a high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. That's a promise to the Israelites. But you know, we gather that promise too as we have been engrafted into the family. We have born into the family because we are born again. Hezekiah Walker wrote a song. It says, every promise, every truth, every word God has spoken to you, it shall come to pass. We learn much through the things we suffer. Every word of God is true. Knowing through all things, Jesus is with us. When his will is made perfect in you. Oh, it shall come to pass. Come to pass. Oh, it shall come to pass. Every trial and every heartbreak, these things come to build your faith. It shall come to pass. Come to pass. Or it shall come to pass. What God has spoken, he is more than able to do. The word God has spoken in you, he shall perform it in you. It shall come to pass. And then the chorus says, hold on and believe it shall come to pass. Praise God. So maybe you're here. You want it shall come to pass in your life. But you need to have a relationship with him. You need to join yourself to him. You need to come to him. You need to start this journey if you haven't started this journey. And you know, I am so glad that I have a lifetime to get to know my Savior. Mm-hmm. It didn't just happen that circle that I was with those young people in that day camp and I just said, I'm going to serve you, Jesus. It didn't stop there. It's a lifetime. And if you want, it shall come to pass in your life. And you're watching today, you don't know Jesus, I want to give you the opportunity to come to know him. Romans 10 and 9 and 10 says that thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's real simple. All you have to do is you believe in your heart that Jesus died for your sins and confess him as Lord and Savior, and you'll be saved. You're accepting his forgiveness by faith. Now, you can do this by saying a simple prayer. You can pray it out loud with us today. And we're going to pray this prayer. And those who already know the Lord, you can also pray this. Just make another confession to God. It says, Father God,
I come to you.
In the name of Jesus. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he died for my sins. And he raised from the dead. Right now, I call him Lord and Savior. I receive his forgiveness. And I'm walking a new life with him. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today, you have entered into the family of God. And please, if you're listening to us via Facebook, please send us a message so we can send you some Bible helps to help you so that you can continue this walk because you're just getting started. And maybe some of us, as we gather together, be able to give you some tips how to continue to stay consistent in the walk. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you want it to shall come to pass?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand. We're going to say our confession. And then we're going to be done. See, when I'm done, I'm done. I don't need to stretch it. Please, go home. Look at these scriptures. Let your hearts be convinced that it is God who wants to do in you more than you can ever imagine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And listen to him so you can know what happens during the delay. What you need to do. Amen.
Amen.
Let's bring that scripture up. Psalms 121:7-8.
Amen.
The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Psalms 121, 7-8.